Okay. Welcome to our meeting of the Board of County Commissioners. Just a housekeeping item, please remember that if you're on Zoom and you're not talking, to keep yourself on mute until you're ready to speak. And we will go ahead and get started. And as usual, we will look to those in attendance for a volunteer, for someone to lead us in a prayer, reading, or thought, and someone to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Do we have any volunteers? Okay. We'll bring it up here. Okay, we have one volunteer. You want to lead us in a prayer, reading, or thought, and then I'll lead us in the pledge.
Sure. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to be here and help influence county government. We ask for our blessings to be upon the commissioners as they evaluate and weigh things. Let their minds be clear. Help us to be patient with each other and bless those who are in need at this time of difficulty for many people. And these things we say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you. Stand if you are able and join in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We get to start off with the exciting part here in our meeting, and that is to recognize our Employee of the Month, which today is Detective Jeff Bird. Now, as he comes up here, I'm going to read this nomination letter. Detective Jeff Bird became a deputy with Utah County approximately 12 years ago. However, his commitment to the sheriff's office began much earlier than that, as he was an explorer scout for several years prior. He eventually went on to take an active leadership role in the sheriff's explorer program. As many of the corrections staff do as they come out onto patrol, Bird went to Eagle Mountain, where he quickly became a respected member of the team and worked his way onto the special enforcement team in just a couple of years. As his partner on set, I have observed Bird take general interest in the safety and well-being of those persons we come into contact with and arrest. For instance, Bird's first search warrant yielded a stash of over 3 pounds of raw marijuana that was being sold out of a home in Utah County. Detective Bird, using his people skills, interviewed everyone involved in the operation and obtained full confessions from all involved. Detective Bird takes time to speak to almost everyone set comes into contact with, including their family members, and offers advice on how to change their life trajectory away from incarceration and treats them with dignity regardless of the reason for the contact. While Detective Bird was in the corrections division, he took an interest in gang investigations. He quickly became what I consider an expert in local and regional gangs and is a board member of the Utah Gang Investigators Association. As a board member, Detective Bird has many contacts throughout the state of Utah. If an investigation leads us out of Utah County and is somehow gang-related, Detective Bird and other detectives out of county work together with task force members to assist. Detective Bird's interest in gangs and narcotics investigation has recently led to selection by the Utah County Major Crime Force to take on an additional role with the FBI Safe Streets Program, which is a national gang enforcement program. One of the many reasons Detective Bird was selected to join the SET team was his vast knowledge of social media and its trending use in drug-related and other crimes. He is the go-to detective on SET and will also assist Major Crimes Task Force with social media-related investigations. He brings an entertaining aspect to investigations as he is master of disguise and keeps many items available in his vehicle for use if an investigation requires close surveillance. I can think of many investigations hearing him over the radio saying he was going to be out on foot and then hearing someone else say there's a male in the area to keep an eye on. Then closer observation, the new male is Detective Bird in disguise and in very close proximity to the person being investigated. Detective Bird takes pride in training new deputies and other officers in how the SET team operates and how to conduct narcotic investigations. He met with Sergeant Brent Shelby of the Utah Highway Patrol, who was one of Detective Byrd's former Explorer Scouts, and started a training program for new troopers on drug and human trafficking interdiction. That training program has been extremely successful. For these reasons and more, we feel Detective Jeff Byrd deserves to be recognized as an employee county, Utah County Employee of the Month. Okay, we will now go through the process of building our agenda. Anything that we do not hold for discussion will be approved on consent. And so we will begin looking at these consent items. I do not have any from the consent section to hold.
I don't either.
Okay.
Good.
Moving to regular. I'd like to hold number 8 and number 10. Those are the only two that I would need to hold.
And I believe, I'm not sure if number 16, is that still on this agenda? I think we got an email from Dave.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the issue is, I know that we were going to review it, but if it didn't get on in time, then it's not really on this agenda, so.
Yeah, I just want to make sure it's noted.
Okay.
There's no approval or anything with number 16.
Okay, so if some version have a 16 that's a capital improvement program that was posted within 24 hours of this meeting, and so it will not be on this consent, and it's in the next meeting.
And then for number 15, if we could, I'm fine with approving the revised for December 2nd. I believe that's the correct.
This is going on consent with the note with that the note. It's a revised schedule as of December 2nd.
Right.
Okay. Anything else to hold? Commissioner Ivey?
Nope, that covers it for me.
Okay, so we'll move to the Eagle Mountain Agreement. And I had a question about this one just because I know I had a conversation with counsel here, and I didn't see a revision. We had talked about making just a couple of small administrative changes of how potential staffing plans are adjusted. I don't know, Court, are you on the phone? Or is that ready? Do we need to, what's our opinion on moving forward with this?
It's on there. There's a red line version.
This is Dave Shawcroft. Court should be on the line. Court, do you want to join in?
I'm wondering, kind of going along with that, because I did see a red line version with some changes. I think it came about in the last couple hours. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't see it, but I there were a couple of changes.
Yeah,
there were some
changes, and I echoed some of the changes that you had on there. I'm wondering if we're still not quite ready for this to be looked at. There's a number under the section 9 that probably needs to be updated in the way of the cost per deputy for the pay of that. I think that probably, there needs to be some consideration. I don't know if Court wants to talk to that with that or not, but, and then there were some other things in there as well. For instance, there's no provision in there for late payments. And we do have an outstanding invoice that's been since the first of the year. So we don't have any late payment provisions. I'm just wondering if we shouldn't at least clean up some more stuff there.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Court. Sorry, I was having issues getting in. I'll let Sheriff go on this for now. Let me say that I did send revisions out via email yesterday. So you should have one in your inbox with the redlined revisions.
Yeah.
Did you find that, Commissioner? I've got a hard copy right
here. I was just able to pull this one up now. It looks like it came today, but I don't know. Our inboxes have been clogged with another issue. Okay, now I'm seeing this. Appreciate you pointing that out, Court and Sheriff. And I can, if you have comments, I'll look through, because I had minor comments.
Well, my comments would be this contract is already almost 6 months past being approved. It needs to be approved. It keeps getting bumped. It's a little frustrating that, in the 11th hour, we have comments coming up that we've had this out there. We keep putting it out. In fact, Commissioner Lee, you've set a meeting and then you made sure to say that the sheriff's office wasn't to come to that meeting. So it's a little frustrating when we have questions that need to be worked through that we're not doing it. And then we're just at the 11th hour bumping out information on the delinquencies. Again, if we could communicate here, you would know that that was not Eagle Mountain's fault, that they were never billed for it. So when we're talking about late fees, for one, you can't even say it's an anomaly. I don't know that's happened before. And on this one, it's not even their fault. So I think we're past time to get something done on this. And I hate to see us just, my fear is next, we'll put this on again and no one will say anything. And hours before the meeting, now we come up with some more issues that we want to punt it down the road again, and that seems to be our MO on this. I think it's time that we just move forward and get this taken care of.
I'm not sure what you were referring to earlier, but I want to get it correct. I think you'd rather have it correct as well, and there's just, I mean, both of us have had some questions about it.
And that's fine, but the questions aren't coming to us. So there needs to be communication here.
We're talking with Court. He's the one that's drafted it. So I have had communications with Court, spent some time talking with him, about the contract and what it is.
Okay, so we don't have any part in that communication as the sheriff's office?
I mean, you could. It's just that when I'm looking at language, when it comes to the contract, I usually go to the drafting attorney about that. I think that's what Commissioner Ainge did as well.
Commissioner Ainge is, and I have talked about it.
For this one today? Okay, fair enough.
Commissioner Ivey and I have talked about it.
I was going to say, I've had an opportunity to review the minor revisions, and after speaking with the sheriff and going through these, I'm comfortable moving on it today.
That's fine. I'm just saying there's some numbers in here that are not representative, and I've had that conversation today with Court about them, and I think that we should at least get the numbers right.
What number would that be?
This is on page 9, section 9 under the insurance.
I'm now turning there. And what's your understanding of the issue with the number?
We're talking about insurance and insurance rates, and this same number has been applied since 2011. There's probably more to the story. I think that Court would probably appreciate having some conversation he did with me today on that.
And is there a reason why we even bill that separately? Because I know one of the things that you worked out is this is just an overall, essentially a price, right? Is there any reason why we...
My understanding is there isn't. It was at the time, I hate to use this word, but kind of an arbitrary thing. So I don't even know what that number represents. And I don't think Commissioner Lee does. I don't think court does.
But you've already worked out, you've contemplated that number and the total build service and knowing what you need to kind of cover the operations of your department.
How have you contemplated that number?
Well, what does it represent?
Yeah, that's the question. The rate is it's an insurance. It's an insurance per deputy. Are you saying that number is a correct number for the cost of insurance?
My understanding is that's on top of what we're already doing for our benefit package and for trust, and so it's something on top of that. It's a separate bill.
But it's still a number that is in here that under contract will be applied.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the concern, is if that number is incorrect, don't we want to get that number correct?
Is it incorrect?
Well, when it's the same rate since 2011, I think it at least warrants that we should look at it.
Okay. And again, I guess my stand would be, is this has been in front of you for how long, and now in the 11th hour, this is what I get. I get the feeling you just don't want this to go through. And you make your public comments about your feeling on the contract, and then it just keeps getting bumped.
Okay, that's neither here nor there. I'm just saying that it is one that needs to be considered as we're going down through the process. I think we want it to be correct. If we don't, that's another thing, but I would like to see it correct. I noticed in going down through it again, and I've gone down through it a couple times, we don't have any provision in there for late payments or anything of that nature. And that becomes a little concerning when I find out that we do have an outstanding balance of $234,000 since the date is 4/1.
Yeah, and again, you hear what you want to hear. That's the county's fault. They didn't invoice it. We researched it that fast. Yeah, I just got the information on it.
No, I have 4/1.
Court, is there any reason why this doesn't have any standard late payment terms?
Just because we never really thought it was an issue. No one's really ever raised the issue before. I think the Mountain has been timing their payments, but I have to defer to others on that.
I'm guessing we have that language standard somewhere, and we passed this today, adding that standard language.
Well, yeah, we'd just have to decide if there were, if it's late 30 days, how much interest to charge or penalty. It would be an interest rate. But
do we have a standard number that we usually apply to our contract for that rate?
I'm not sure. A reasonable amount would either be 12 or 18%. I don't know that we have a standard provision for what we charge other governmental entities interest for. But we could certainly add something, language to that effect, whatever the commission would like to do.
Well, this is Dave Shawcroft. A typical one would probably be 1% per month for another governmental entity. Quite often, it's 1.5% per month for commercial contracts. But I would recommend just 1% per month.
I mean, if that's a concern, I think that, you know, we can throw that in there with that 1 or 1.5%. You know, and I think that's something we can pass today. It's standard language.
Yeah, Dave, any guidance on that? So if we just want to, because I know that I'd probably go toward the one, because I know that the really at business terms, Eagle Mountain Council has already approved this.
I don't believe so.
Okay. So Dave,
yeah,
can we pass this with that type of conditional
we could.
Addition?
Yes, it could be approved just with the addition of language indicating that there would be on anything more than 30 days delinquent, there would be an interest applied at 1% per month.
Dave, could we also on the number for the insurance purposes pass it with the understanding that that number will be updated?
So
that is more difficult because we don't know what that number is. We could add a provision that would be the dollar amount for the first year, and then that dollar amount would be adjusted annually to reflect the actual costs.
So Zanine, is there any way to get that dollar amount? Do we know how to get?
Well, so Commissioner, one thing I want to point out that's interesting, because I think that the legacy, what you're doing here is, if this were still the cost-based model, we absolutely would need to be updating that rate. But we're not, this isn't a cost-based model, so it's not necessarily it's right or wrong, from my understanding, as much as it is we're billing them a fixed price, regardless of what our cost is. And obviously we've kind of shared costs historically, so they kind of know, but it's really just a negotiated price to provide the law enforcement services. And so it doesn't have to tie directly to what our costs are. So we could go and do an analysis of the costs on the total billing and then on this insurance side, what our insurance per employee is, but it's just a market kind of arm's length deal that we're making with the city, as opposed to, hey, you need to reimburse us. And I think there's logic to what you're saying is why wouldn't we use a number that actually reflects, at least in this instance, even though the other one we're not tying to costs anymore, right. This one, the language does tie it to our costs, so we should make those things tie.
And the reason why I asked that question is because I'm not sure in court or Deneen or whoever can verify this. If we start with this, does that 4% anticipate the cost of insurance? Or are you saying that's totally separate and aside? Or because if we start at a lower number, and let's say that 1,176 is a low number, and then next year we find out that it's, you know, $1,500 per deputy, but we only have a 4% increase in there, how do we adjust that?
Well, I think the way the contract is written right now is insurance is billed separately. So my recommendation would be to include the interest component in the 4% increase.
So say that again.
Yeah.
I didn't quite follow that.
The liability interest number in section 9
right.
is not included in the cost number that is billed. This is a separately billed item. And so so we could include the insurance costs in the total cost. It would then be increased. The insurance costs would be increased by 4% a year.
Okay, so.
Well, or how about this? Since it's billed separately, and this is kind of a pain of, but maybe this just helps us get this resolved, is you could just say, for this one, we're going to bill it separately. So it's this amount that's already hard-coded in there, or our actual insurance costs per employee, whichever is greater.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that, because I think that gives us the flexibility, because as soon as we put a hard number in there and we have a 1 or 4 year contract on this thing, it comes back to a hard number unless we have something like that in there.
Okay. Could we make that modification, Court?
You bet.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion to pass this with these couple of modifications?
I'll make a motion that we, let's see, let me get to the... I'll make a motion that we approve and authorize the county commission to sign the proposal as revised in the interlocal agreement, that the red line version that is on our agenda with the modifications of putting in late payment provisions at 1%. I think that was it. And also under section 9.
Per month,
yes. And under section 9, under the insurance, that the hard number of $1,174.47 is the base, but the actual costs will be determined.
Well, the greater of that.
Yeah, the greater of.
Or actual.
Greater of, yeah. Or actual will be applied.
Whichever is greater.
Yep.
Whichever is greater. I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve item number 8. All in favor say aye.
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 Hold on, as we vote, I'm waiting for the final comment.
I just want to thank you for taking the time to do that so we didn't just keep bumping it. Okay. And the other comment would be on the billing. I don't know what standard billing is. If an email is standard billing, I think that's a problem, because Eagle Mountain's saying they never received that bill. And if we're going to charge a late fee, we need to make sure our billing process is. I mean, you just had an issue with an email that was sent today getting buried. And if that's how we bill, that's an issue.
Okay. Thank you.
We also send follow-ups to departments when things haven't been paid, just to account for that. And we had no response from the department on that.
Okay, thank you. I heard 2 votes aye. My third is aye. So item 8 passes 3-0. Now, number 10, do we have someone from the health department here to address this?
Eric Edwards from the health department. Ralph is in another meeting and couldn't be here. So, so item 10, this is a bizarre situation. And we had increased a individual was working as a clinical assistant too. And we had come to the commission prior, and that individual was made a senior clinical assistant with the agreement that another position wouldn't be created in her moving into that position, and that a clinical assistant too would be removed from the staffing plan. And for I don't know how, the health department prides herself in following detail, and this one simply slipped through the cracks. And in looking at the staffing plan, our nursing director saw that there was an open position and that shouldn't have been, and we had a need. This was months later, I believe in the summertime, and we ended up going through the process and ultimately hired a person to fill this position at the clinical two position. So we're now in a position where we have funds for 2020 to pay for that, but for 2021, that's not in the budget, not in the staffing plan. And so we're in a position where it's a critical position. It's needed. It's working in our with immigration and cancer screening, two areas that are always have been historically understaffed. And two people alone working in immigration isn't cutting it. We need the third person. This individual is also bilingual. Anyway, I could keep going on about why it's a need. But as far as for paying for it, in our nursing director's analysis and looking at this, here's what we have going for us and why we feel we have the funds for 2021. And the cancer screening contract was increased by $25,000. I didn't know that, Commissioner Lee, when I was talking to you earlier, but that's another additional source of funds for this. Another item is we haven't had enough staff to see the amount of clients necessary to. The more clients we see, the more we can bill to the cancer screening contract. And we haven't had enough staff to actually fully bill out that contract in prior years. And so that's another source of funds that we will receive, as well as we've seen dips in fees for 2020 due to COVID-19. And we believe as things pick up in 2021, as the hope is, right? All of our hope is that we'll see much, much more of our fees increase as more people are seeking those services that they haven't been, that they've been putting off due to whatever reason during the COVID-19 crazy year. I wish I could blame this on 2020 or, you know, the year we're having, but it's just nutty. So that's the request. And we'll have to monitor this if it's approved by the commission for 2021 to ensure that those funds are available too. Lori just gave me a note that the position is in our 2021 staffing plan. What questions can I entertain or help you with?
So how is it in the, I thought, isn't that the issue, is trying to get it in the 2021 staffing plan? I thought that was the point of this item.
That's how it's worded on the agenda item, but.
Hi, this is Merritt. Can you hear me? Could I add just a little bit?
Yes.
So as we just provided Rudy with an updated staffing plan and estimated cost for personnel, we did leave the position in the staffing plan because the error was that it didn't get deleted, and it should have, and it just kind of coincided with that time that we were preparing the budget report that we identified that issue. But with the caveat, we let Rudy know that that position wasn't funded. You know, it's not supposed to be in the staffing plan, but that we were going through this process to see if it could remain. So it might show in their staffing plan simply because it was in the report that went forward, you know, through the auditor's office, and if it went, got dispersed to the health department without that caveat kind of being attached to it, then, you know, that's where the issue is. And so it might show a position in their staffing plan, but it's not necessarily funded or shouldn't have been included in their staffing plan for 2021.
I think I'm getting more confused as we go along. So,
I'm sorry.
I mean, because the issue is, what is the action that we're, like, does there need to be action taken? And I know, Commissioner Lee, this is your portfolio assignment, so I don't know if you have a perspective on this.
Yeah, we've had discussion, you know, talking about it, and I realize, and I think it's recognized that there was a mistake that took place and happened. And Ralph, you know, said he was going to find out how that happened so it doesn't happen again. That's neither here nor there. But and so my biggest question on this comes down to a funding issue, because if we allow it to be in the staffing plan next year, then how is it funded? Because typically on a staffing plan, we move it into the next year automatically unless there's an increase. And in this case, there was not. This should have not been in the staffing plan, but it was kind of de facto because it transferred over, being that it was already hired and they were already there. And so this, as I see this is an attempt to kind of correct that, and to correct it in the sense that it's been done in an open meeting and publicly done, where we're saying we're allowing this to happen now. And because the funding is grant funded or other funded, it's not one, and it's tied that way. So if that funding goes away, the position goes away. So it's not necessarily an increase. It's more of, it's an increase because there is funding that's available there, but there was a mistake. And I think that's a conversation that I hear from it. And this is an attempt to kind of correct that, to make sure that we're back on track.
And if this position hadn't been hired, I mean, this would have been a position that Lori, being nursing director, would have asked for, because it was a need for, that's a proper channel, right? And so, and we understand that, we get that.
And not just asked for, but there was funding for it as
right,
well.
Right,
there's
right.
There's projected funding
right.
for it.
Projected
it
funding way. and it's something we have to monitor and track too, right?
Right.
So.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I would entertain a motion on number 10.
I'll make a motion that we allow the existing clinical assistant 2 position to remain as stated in number 10 on our agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on number 10. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Okay. Do we need any closed meetings today?
Number 16 or 17. Anyway,
let's call that 16.
Call it 16 since we got the other ones off. Yeah. Okay.
18 for sale.
And
yes, the professional competence.
And 17 for sale.
I've got down to 18 on the one I got.
Yeah. That's it?
You think so?
I'll make a motion then that we strike item number 18 and 19 from our agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to strike 18 and 19. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0.
I'll make a motion that we approve and set a date, time, and location as stated in number 16 and 17 on our agenda for today's date at this location.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to have those closed meetings in items 16 and 17 from the originally published agenda. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Okay, we'll now move into a work session that we have on presentation on potential ways to reorganize county commission staff. We have Mayor Rod Mann here to give that presentation.
So I sent you the presentation I want to review. You've got that?
Are you able to share it on, well, are you on the Zoom call?
That's just my computer. I'm not on the Zoom call. If you want to share it on the Zoom call, because I sent a copy to you and Bill and Nathan.
I have it. I just don't, I wonder if we want to make it available for the viewers of the meeting.
I would think so. Is there a way to do that? I don't. I can put it on a thumb drive. I think I got one.
You have to get on the Zoom, and I would assume to do that.
So can Tanner just share his screen and then it shows up on Zoom? Or Bill? Yeah.
Are you on the Zoom on that computer?
Do I have the link to the Zoom? Can you send it to me? While we're waiting, thanks for being willing to take time. This was just something that caught my attention. You're all aware that I did some research for Prop 9, and I continued it just because it was interesting to me, and so I learned some things, and I thought I would share them and then just share a couple observations I had on.
Is this the same presentation that we had a little while ago?
No, this is, I sent it just this afternoon, like at 3 p.m.
So the meeting that we had over Zoom last week
is
totally different?
It's different. I sent out a PPT and a PDF.
Yeah. Have you received the email from the link? I sent you the Zoom link as well.
Did you? I didn't. What email address did you use?
The one that this came from. So I don't know if you're connected to online. So it's mayor@highlandcity.org.
Oh, you know what? I am not connected to a network here. Sorry. Is there a public network I can use?
Yeah. Just go to utahcounty.gov.
Is it that one? Is that public?
Yeah.
Open one. was that to the... Zoom. Zoom.
Sure. You probably want to mute. You probably just want to mute your computer, own computer.
Yeah, mute your sound.
Okay. All right. Technical glitches are all taken care of.
Thank you for working through that. The time is yours.
All right. So let me just step through this. And how do I get there? Why isn't it moving? Okay, so I looked at the various this is annoying me hard. I looked through the various counties and said what kind of support infrastructure do they have for their commissions? And I found three different types. One was personal assistance for the legislative bodies. And there were two that had that, Salt Lake County and Utah County. The rest were either a staff dedicated to the commission that was centralized or a staff that was dedicated to the entire county that was centralized. And in the chart here, the yellow one, the red ones are the personal assistants, the brown ones are a centralized staff, and the yellow ones are a centralized staff that is used by the entire county. And you'll notice that the yellow ones tend to be the smaller ones, which makes sense to me because some of the counties are really, really small. And that got me thinking, so why do we do it? Now, I also looked at what's the average salary of elected officials? This is commissioners or council members or mayors. And we aren't the highest. Actually, Davis is, and then Weber, and then us. Salt Lake County is lower because their council is part-time. And I think having a dedicated personal assistant is what enables that. In our case, our county's pretty big, and we don't have 9 council members like Salt Lake County does, so maybe the two are justified. I did talk to Weber this morning, and they have a centralized staff now that supports them. 2 years ago, they were personal assistants, and they decided to move away from that for one primary reason, which was continuity of support and institutional knowledge, because the way it worked before, which is the way it works here, is if you switch out, if you decide not to run again or you don't get reelected, there's a new person that comes in that doesn't necessarily have any knowledge about the county. They have knowledge of the individual typically, but they don't necessarily have a lot of experience with the county. So you have 2 new people starting over. And so where do they go for help, right? Whereas with the centralized staff, that's where you can go for institutional knowledge about processes or how do I do this, et cetera. So if we go to the next slide, it's just a different way of viewing this. If you look at all the counties, there's 29. 12 have the 12 of the commissions have a centralized legislative staff. 1 doesn't. 10 are the shared with the other county bodies. For council manager, in one case, it's a shared staff with the whole county. And then the executive council, again, it's 1 and 1. And then if you look at all counties, you can see where we fit. I try to simplify things, because I think it's easier to communicate. So the model that we have right now is, I'm calling it the personal assistant model. As I see it, the duties are directed by the commissioner, and there is some limited assignments for the entire commission, because I believe the senior policy advisors do share the load for some common tasks, but I think that's limited. So the pros are individual council commission members can focus on their agenda and have somebody helping them on their agenda. The cons, as I see it, are because that assistant is tied to an individual commissioner, his ability is limited in other ways. Like that person can't interact for the commission as a whole with very much credibility, because there's always the viewpoint, well, then he's really reflecting this commissioner's point of view, not a more neutral point of view. Institutional knowledge is lost. And I think it enhances, occasionally there's division between commission members on different issues. I think having a dedicated assistant helps enhance that division. There's two other models.
Are you saying on a merit basis?
On a merit basis?
Yeah.
What do you mean on a merit basis?
Well, we have appointed basis and merit basis. So would they be a merited employee?
Would who be?
That the assistant that you said.
The personal assistant?
No, the one that you said is going to cross over.
Okay,
would that be a merited employee?
I don't understand the term merited, but there's two other options that we're going to look at next. The one is, on this one, if you have a secretarial model, think of it, many of us are LDS, so I think that, like, if you think of the state president and then he has an executive secretary and a clerk, that's the kind of model that this is, which is what actually most of the counties have. They have somebody designated as an executive secretary or senior manager or something, and then they have one or two other assistants in that office, and their roles are typically the ones you would associate with secretarial functions, like agendas, scheduling. There is some limited delegation of authority for administrative tasks. And then they also would do things like data collection, maybe for the budget to help assemble that, or look at processes, evaluate them, have them documented for the county so that the commissioners can understand them. I really think it lines up with the, and again, apologies for the analogy, but I think it aligns up with the executive secretary, state clerk at a stake level in the LDS Church, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Most of the other counties operate this way. There are three counties, plus another that has kind of a hybrid, that have someone designated as the county administrator. So that salary is a little bit higher. I believe they're typically higher than your highest senior policy advisor today. And then that person has one or two other people that help. In some cases, it's part-time or not, but they typically have another person, and that's Sevier, San Juan, and Washington. So they have somebody, one of the titles are chief administrative officer, the other two counties, they call it county administrator. I think with that kind of a role, that person is getting paid more, closer to what a full-time county commissioner makes. Although I have to go back and just let me chuckle a little bit. Davis and Weber, on their websites, or how they describe their commissioners, say part-time. That's a pretty good wage for a part-time person that they have. I don't know why they describe it as part-time, but they do.
I've also understood that. It's been an odd, we've had that question from time to time, and I've never understood if we know we can set salary level. But the designation
of full-time, part-time,
or full-time versus part-time, I think is a question. So that's interesting. I hadn't heard that they are officially designated there as,
yeah,
as part-time.
Because I went through and I looked at how I categorized them. And when I categorized them, I looked at their website, or I found some piece of information that was public associated with them that described what they were. So it's,
you know, it's kind of interesting. When I first came into office, I was asked that question, if I was going to be full-time, part-time, three-quarter time. I was asked that. I don't know if you were. Were you
and I that? And I wasn't. That's what's interesting. Yeah. So yeah. So
I was asked that question.
Counties are complicated and they're hard. Like I've really found it interesting to go on to transparency.utah.gov because some counties file their information one way versus the other. And it's interesting that there isn't as much uniformity or consistency as you would maybe hope. But from what I've been able to glean, you've got this model of the executive secretary model that most of the counties have, and then this other model that some counties have. And in this case, where you have a designated senior person, because they're more senior, you could have them doing what I would call front office type stuff. The other, like clerks and secretaries, and they're kind of back office behind the scenes making everything happen. If you have somebody with a county administrator title, they can be more front-facing. So you could assign them some specific areas of function. In Weber County, they don't have a county administrator, but under the commission, they do have an economic development person that gets a fairly nice salary. In other cases, I think the administrator handles that or handles a portion of that. So that could be economic development or public outreach or PIO type functions. And it requires a different skill set to be front facing than it does back facing. You know, some people are comfortable innovating and being creative behind the scenes, and then other people are more leadership, or I don't know if it's leadership oriented, but are more front facing, publicly oriented. They're comfortable in front of large audiences or doing things. But in the end, it's still the commission's decision as to how much to delegate. I think if you're looking at delegating more, then this model is the right model to look at it. And if you go back to the executive secretary clerk model, you could say that this model would be like the state primary presidency or the state young men's presidency, still part of state. I'm just trying to, I found that analogy worked for me. So I know you guys are familiar with that, so I thought I'd share that. So that's, I just see no cons to either of these two where it's centralized. I was trying to think, what are the cons? And I couldn't find any. On the pro side, you've got, in both cases, institutional knowledge can be built and maintained. The commission can delegate administrative tasks that, because they're now a centralized group, they can more efficiently assign it out because they're all working together. And if you don't have time, then you have time. And then they're perceived as representing the whole body instead of just an individual. So you take that, whether it's right or wrong, that impression away. And then I think because you're centralized, and I hate the word centralized because it implies something that this isn't, right? We're not trying to create a bigger thing. We're just trying to be more efficient. But you're more efficiently able to utilize all the resources. And when you go to this other model with the county administrator, I think you get into the pros now where you can say, if you want to delegate some broad administrative functions, you've got somebody that can actually take a lead on that. And that's a your call kind of thing. I bring it up now because you're in a transition, right? We have one person leaving, another person coming. That coming person hasn't hired the next staff member yet. So there's nobody that you're going to impact directly if you make a decision before that happens to reorganize. You could end up with, like in Weber County's case, when I talked to one of the secretaries and she said, you know, we changed over 2 years ago from personal assistants to a shared model, and we started with two, but there was too much. And so they have two people that are fairly well paid, around 60K just salary. And then the third person is a 35K person, which means that's probably more of an administrative secretary scheduling type of, less experience type of person. So it can change the mix of how you do things, right? But you have an opportunity here, and I just wanted to present it to you. I just didn't realize that we were such an outlier. one of two. And I know in the elections, we did not want to be like Salt Lake County in any way, shape, or form. So if you need an excuse to change, that could be a good one. Well, so everything Salt Lake County does is bad. We can't do anything like them. I heard that. People said that, right? I just think this would represent an improvement. Whichever path you took, and it could be incremental. You start with one, see how it works, and then you can grow into the other. But I think you would find that over the long term, there would be a lot of benefits that happen from having people stay. And I know that some of the staff sitting here, you stay regardless of who's serving. But I think having people serving directly the commission, and it gives you, like, if it was me, okay, if I had the job of being your assistant, Bill, I would feel a little bit limited as to what I could do. Whereas if I felt like I represented the three counselors, if I wanted to, quote, magnify my calling, and I could think on a broader perspective and I could do more. And I would still come back to the commission and say, can I do this? But my mind would be thinking on a broader scale instead of just focusing on what Bill is interested in. I'd say, well, what is the county? Because my role would be bigger than just my one commissioner. That's my nature. I don't know if other people are like that, but I would feel more empowered to be representing the commission as a whole instead of a single commissioner. So I just wanted to leave that with you. I know this is a work session. You can't make any decisions, but if you have any questions about what I've shared, I'd be happy to answer them.
I don't have any questions. Thank you, Rod. Are you coming back tomorrow?
No.
To present?
That was...
Because I think I saw that on the agenda.
I did ask for it tomorrow.
Oh, I see.
But then
okay.
When I talked to Tanner, he said, well, tomorrow's really busy. Today is a little bit lighter.
All right.
So we'll do it today.
I just saw it on there twice and I thought, oh, we're going
to. Well, no, unless you want me to come back.
Let's do it.
I'm not a glutton for punishment. I gave you all the link to the spreadsheet all this stuff comes out of. So you're always welcome to look at that. And I've updated it since we talked a little bit with some other information.
I mean, and as you've looked at it, is there a kind of a recommendation or and is this, do you see this as a cost savings or do you just see this as a potentially a better way because government can be more effective or
what's
drawn your interest in this?
So in my interest, one of them is when I saw that we were an outlier, that always makes you think, right? Why are we different? And then as I thought about it, if you look at it from a cost-saving point of view, if you go with the model, with this model, the executive secretary model, I think there would be a cost savings because I think you could do two and maybe a third secretary, which would be lower than what your current assistants are making. So I think there would be cost savings there. But the big advantages I see in both cases is the development and retention of institutional knowledge and the ability to serve the commission in a broader way. Because when you represent one, I think it limits you. When you represent all three, I think you can do more. If you go to this other model, I think it could be cost neutral because I think you have some buckets for things like economic development. You might not be using all of that right now or PIO, and you might even be able to get some of the tourism tax money because some of that assignment could be apportioned to those kinds of things. So I think you could capture money that you're currently spending or not spending but is budgeted in a different way. I think you'd have, in both cases, you have to do a more detailed job description than I've done. And it will be a reflection of what is it that you want. And then you just pick the model, the secretary model or the administrator model, and then map out what you want that to do and how you want it to work. And I think in both cases, it's better. And I think in the one case, you can save some money. And in the other case, it can be neutral. That's just my rough estimate. I'm not a member of the county staff, so I don't have all the inside knowledge. As a mayor and as a city council member, I'm drawn to this because I know how we work right now, right? We have administrative staff that we lean on, and when councilmen come and go, which they do, it's staff that trains us, and it's staff that knows how things work because they've been there a while and they understand. The city administrator is the only person specifically that the council, in my case, hires directly. We get informal input on other positions that are senior, but the only one that we're by our statutes obligated to hire or fire is the administrator. And what I've seen is, depending on the council, there's kind of a, sometimes they're all together, sometimes it's 4-1. 4-1's kind of hard. So if you're the one, then you're gonna try and be with everybody else. But it can be 3-2. But I've seen staff, even when it's 3-2 and pretty sharp divisions there, they treat every council member the same because they know that come next election, that 3-2 could flop. So they're never sure how the next election's going to go. So they tend to treat everybody equal. And even, in my opinion, sometimes people, elected officials, aren't always the kindest to staff on occasion. It doesn't matter. They treat them the same. Behind the scenes, they might say things. And since I'm mayor and I'm there more often, I get to hear some of that. But they treat them the same in terms of helping. And if you have a question, they do the same amount of work. So I there might be a fear that, if we hire somebody, maybe it's 2-1 so that the staff is going to really be more friendly to the 2 versus the 1. It just hasn't been my experience. My experience has been since they're not planning to be short-timers, they tend to want to help everybody because they never know which way the political winds are going. And sometimes on one issue it's 2-1, and on another it's 2-1 and it's a different way. So it's not always the same 2-1 or 3-2 or, in our case, 3-2 or 4-1 or whatever. The split isn't always the same. So I think people might perceive that to be a risk, but I haven't seen that in practice. And I've been involved as a city council member or mayor for 7 years now. And that's a fair amount of time. Yeah. And it's just not my experience.
And I appreciate the data that you shared here. That's actually something that I hadn't seen in all of our discussion about the actual data. I had anecdotal information with other counties, but of which counties have which type of staffing, that's insightful. And I think it's, the timing of this conversation is kind of on the heels of Prop 9. I kind of want to get back to the conversation because many people don't realize that, like Commissioner Lee and I took different public positions on Prop 9. But before that was ever on the ballot, we were having more fine-tuning conversations about what's the best way for county government. I didn't really ever perceive that as it's just the status quo or it's a move to a mayor council. There's things in between, right? I mean, even the plan that Commissioner Lee and Commissioner-elect Sakovich sponsored included, there's commonalities in those plans. One is regional districting was a part of both. And their plan had a 3/4 time commission. Although it was 5 members, so it's, you can't really compare it to 3, but they had it. And so I think it's interesting to think about some of these things that you've brought up and just say, okay, as we move on, what is the right way to structure and staff this office? And I remember looking at that plan that Commissioner Lee put forward and thinking, I've talked to some county commissioners who have a 5-member model and have even a 3/4, Maricopa County, where I went to high school, they actually have a 5-member, 3/4 county or 3/4 time county, board of supervisors, essentially county commission. And I think that if you go to a model like that, And it's worked pretty well there. I actually surveyed during our Good Governance Advisory Board. I surveyed a couple of members of that county commission, and they said it worked. One of the reasons it worked is because they have this type of administrator position that you're talking about. Because I think that the more bodies you add, I think it's a problem even with three, trying to have three voices always be aligned, even on administrative stuff. I think you need that central voice, but certainly if you expand it to five, having that glue person or that administrator to make sure those things are handled is even more important. This is good data. I appreciate you sharing it with us.
You're welcome. It's kind of interesting on a historical basis, and I haven't been here long enough to give you far enough back reach, but Alice's position, as far as I understand, and people that have been here longer can correct me on it, that used to be a commission in the commission office as a front desk position, and as a role as a secretary, if I remember correctly, is that right? You remember that? But there wasn't enough work. That's not correct. I'm seeing some head shake. But all I'm saying is that there have been different forms, you know, that have been looked at and changed. And I don't even know the reason why, but I do know that when we were in the old offices up here, I call them the old offices now, there was that desk out front. And when I first came in, I said, why isn't somebody sitting in that desk? Well, we used to do that, or we used to have somebody there, and we had another office. We actually had purchasing down in our office or in the commission office. And so there are there's definitely different structures, and it's not like it hasn't morphed over time, even in Utah County.
Yeah. So the message I got from the Prop 9 thing was we want to do it the Utah County way, not anybody else's way. I just think, again, my experience with city and looking at the other counties is that this would be an improvement. Changing to a more centralized staff would be an improvement.
It'd be interesting to have Ralph's perspective at some time. I'm not saying now, but as the HR director, and it would be interesting to kind of get a perspective from Ralph on that too. Because I look at it, and there's a few things like I'm mentioning on a merit basis. I think that there's some things that need to be worked through, but still, it's an interesting conversation. Thank you, and it's good that you don't have to come back twice.
No, I appreciate not having to. So thanks for your time.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that's the end of our published agenda. Is there any public comment? None in the room. Looking to Zoom. Seeing none. We will go ahead and move into our closed meetings. Thank you. Okay, we're back in our public meeting. We got one final motion.
Motion to adjourn.
I will suspend the rules and second that motion.
Sorry, Banner, I was on mute. Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're now adjourned.
Aye.